The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome. So I'd like to just build on a little bit what I mentioned earlier today during the what we call the practice note, and that is this sense that we so often have, like, it's quite amazing how prevalent it is, this idea of like, yeah, things are okay, but they should be a little bit better, or they can be a little bit better, or there's this like underlying agitation of wanting things to be just a little bit different. And maybe it's not even clear to us like how it should be different. Just this general feeling like, yeah, this, it's good, but it could be better. We're often having this feeling like, yeah, it could be better, or even it should be better. That no matter what's happening, that somehow it's not enough, it's not good enough. And there's a way in which this pervasive, this prevalent feeling of things being inadequate some way really kind of robs us from the intimacy, the connection with our life. Because our life is happening just here, however it is, but there's always a little part of us that's thinking like, yeah, but it should be this other way or something. And what I'm describing is part of how I'm interpreting with the Buddha when he used this word, dukkha. Like, I mean, there's obvious dukkha. There's a terrible, terrible suffering that happens in the world. And then there's often just this mild, niggling little, I wish I could be better somehow. So there's a number of reasons why this might arise. I'm not going to go through all of them, but here's one, just something to consider that might be helpful as a way to work with it or to be with it. Earlier during the practice note, I said, it's like this right now. So just to kind of like tune in to what's happening, just become embodied and present. And there's a way just that simple embodiment and presence can bring, you know, this connection with what is and brings a certain uplift and delight. But I also want to talk about something else that really weighs in on this. And that is, we often have these expectations about how things should be. And these expectations may be very clear to us, or they may not be clear to us. And I know often they're not clear to us simply, we know that they're there. They're not clear to us, but we only know that they're there because there's this pervasive feeling like it's not quite right. It's not quite right, whatever it is. So what are expectations? What are they? They are these ideas that we have in our minds. Our minds are great coming up with ideas. They are imaginations, exist only in the mind. They're based on, you know, reality, of course, but they're only in the mind. They are completely insubstantial. They have no substance whatsoever. They arise, they go, right? They're just coming and going like our thoughts do. So expectations are a type of thought, or maybe like a thought that's in a form of an image or something. And we take this thing out of our minds and we put it on top of the present moment experience. And there's a little disconnect. And it's this disconnect that we're feeling like, no, I have this thing in my mind, even if it's not clear to me how I want things to be, how they should be, how I think they should be. But then when we stick it on top of our experience, it doesn't quite match. Of course it doesn't match. Because one is in our minds and one is being experienced. There's a connection, but they're not the same. Our minds always have a little bit of distortion in them. That's a whole nother talk, like why we have the distortion, but if there wasn't any distortion, then it would just match on perfectly. So this recognition that we have these ideas in our minds, we lay them on top of our experience, then we notice it doesn't match, and then the next beat is, it should match. This idea that what came out of the mind and put out into experience, like, oh, wait, this should be the same. And then when I saw this clearly, I felt like there was some certain amount of freedom, like, oh, okay, it doesn't have to match. I'm still making expectations. The mind, it likes to predicts the future, predicts what's going to happen. That's how it works. That's what minds do. We're not going to stop that. But we can soften this expectation that it should be matching what we're actually experiencing. Because what we're experiencing is what we're experiencing. It's that simple. It's just what we're experiencing. And it's when we can be with this, with the present moment experience, then there can be some freedom and some ease there. This kind of this subtle, like trying to shove things to be a particular way or to not be a particular way. When that gets put down, when that softens and goes away, there can be more space, more sense of well-being, less struggle, less complaining, less disappointment, and more like, oh, it's like this. So along these lines, I want to read a poem that for me brings a certain amount of delight, and it's partly because it helps remind us of this. Kind of like, okay, well, you know how life actually is, as opposed to how we often have these ideas, how we think it should be. So this poem is called The Facts of Life by Pedro Gotuma. The Facts of Life by Pedro Gotuma. That you were born and you will die. That you will sometimes love enough and sometimes not. That you will lie, if only to yourself. That you will get tired. That you will learn most of the situation, that you will learn most from the situations you did not choose. That there will be some things that move you more than you can say. That you will live, that you must be loved. That you will avoid questions most urgently in need of your attention. That you began as the fusion of a sperm and an egg of two people who once were strangers and may well still be. That life isn't fair. That life is sometimes good and sometimes even better than good. That life is often not so good. That life is real, and if you can survive it well, survive it well with love and art and meaning given where meaning's scarce. That you will learn to live with regret, that you will learn to live with respect. That the structures that constrict you may not be permanently constricting. That you will probably be okay. That you must accept change before you die, but you will die anyway. So you might as well live, and you might as well love. You might as well love. You might as well love. The Facts of Life by Pedro Gotuma. Often we think of poetry should be filled of beautiful things. But maybe there's some beauty here about the facts of life. It doesn't turn out the way that we imagine. We have these expectations, and some of them get met, many of them don't. And the poet, he ends with, "You might as well love." There's so many different ways we might think about this. You might as well love. Including maybe like softening some of this insistence that our present moment experience be different. The aversion, the kind of like this quiet ill will, like, will you just stop going away? Or please go away. Or maybe stop going away is something we don't want to. But might as well love. And the obvious thing is includes love others, love other beings. But also, is there a way that we can love this moment? And maybe love is too strong of a word. Can we soften our pushing away, our demanding that it be different? Is there a way that we can just recognize it's like this right now and recognize that that is a way of love? To be fully present is loving. Maybe I'll read this one more time. The Facts of Life by Pedro Gotuma. That you were born and you will die. That you will sometimes love enough and sometimes not. That you will lie, if only to yourself. That you will get tired. That you will learn most from the situations you did not choose. That there will be some things that move you more than you can say. That you will live, that you must be loved. That you will avoid questions most urgently in need of your attention. That you began as the fusion of a sperm and an egg of two people who once were strangers and may well still be. That life isn't fair. That life is sometimes good and sometimes even better than good. And that life is often not so good. That life is real. And if you can survive it, well, survive it well with love and art and meaning given where meaning's scarce. That you will learn to live with regret. That you will learn to live with respect. That the structures that constrict you may not be permanently constricting. That you will probably be okay. That you must accept change before you die, but you will die anyway. So you might as well live, and you might as well love. You might as well love. You might as well love. The Facts of Life by Pedro Gotuma. It's this beautiful poem that I stumbled upon, and it's really touched me. In some way, we might think that practice is so much about getting in touch with the facts of life and learning to love despite all that life brings us. So with that, I'll turn it over to Daryl, who will set us up for some meditation in action, where we can bring our care to taking care of our center here.